And I'm talking specifically about the Hurricane Michael that tore through North Florida and parts of Georgia and the Carolinas and Virginia, destroying homes, destroying businesses, uprooting people's lives, destroying some people's lives. I think the death toll now stands about 17 and is expected to go even higher. It really started me to thinking about our lives as Christians, our relationship with our Lord and Savior, how we should remain steadfast, just like that song that we sang in that last verse that talked about, though the tempest of the storm rages about us, we shall stand firm, just like a tree that's planted by the water, is not afraid of the storm, is not afraid of what life will throw at it. That's what's described in Psalms, the first chapter in verse 3, talking about one who is faithful to God, one who is firm in their beliefs. Describes him as he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. We understand and we pray for those people who are suffering at this time. Let us take just a brief moment and we'll pause and we'll pray for those who have endured through the hurricane. Please bow with me. Thank you for taking a few brief moments with me. You know, we oftentimes, we get so caught up in our everyday lives and events that seem so far away from us, so far removed from our everyday lives, we may not fully comprehend what some people are going through right now. And our thoughts and our prayers should be with those who are suffering. And a lot of times we sit in comfort, we sit in a position of strength, and we tend to not think about those who need help, who need our prayers especially, who need the hand of God and His providence to help them through just to get through another day. So thank you for your time this morning as we think about what we need to do to prepare ourselves for the storms of life, what we need to think upon, what we need to center our minds and focus our hearts. One of the delights that we have in summertime, in the late summertime and fall, we get to enjoy the many fruits of the season. And I'm talking about things that we all enjoy, apples and peaches and berries and so many different fruits that are now ready for harvest. And most of them have been harvested, and certainly more are to come. But many of us really enjoy this time of year. And we have festivals like the Apple Festival or the Sauerkraut Festival. And we think about all of these wonderful things that are now ready and prepared for us that God has made. Personally, I think apples are my favorite, but others may have your own favorite that you can think about. But those fruit trees could not have yielded all of those good fruits that we think about unless they had a plentiful supply of water. They need water to produce fruit. When we think about the necessity of a tree that needs the water to produce fruit, that's the illustration that's given to us in the passage that we read just a few moments ago in Psalms 1, verse 3. In a way, this is a picture of our lives as Christians. We need the water of God's Word in order for our lives to be fruitful in His service. Today, I want to commend to you the Word of God. I want you to think about your study. I want you to think about reading your scriptures daily. I want you to think about receiving God's Word in your living room or your family room or in your bedroom. Receiving it as it's written. God wrote a personal message, wrote a personal letter to you, and wants you to read and understand and follow every single bit of it. I want you to learn how to live your life. We study about God's Word almost every day. We study about how we should live, and we study about how we should grow. The Word of God is preached and taught here in the church, and in Bible classes, and in our homes. I encourage you to devote even more time than you currently do. I encourage you to think in your life, do you meditate on God's Word? Do you think of it when you lie down and when you get up? Do you think upon it when you drive somewhere? Do you think about God's Word constantly in your life? We get so busy. We have so many activities, so much that occupies our attention. We should devote more time and plan out our day around study of God's Word and meditating on it. Even if we can't read it, we can still meditate on it. Think about the words. Think about the concepts. This is the way that God wants us to become refreshed. If your Christian life has become dried out, or perhaps you've come to a standstill, you're stagnant, God wants you to grow again. Just like in the springtime when you see all the leaves coming back on the trees and they begin to grow new fruit throughout the season of the summer. And in the fall, you see the produce, the product of that fruit that tree has borne. God wants you every day to become refreshed. He wants new growth. He wants new fresh fruit that you should bear as a Christian. And I'm speaking metaphorically, of course. Becoming like a tree by streams of water happens as you delight and meditate upon God's Word. That's the message in the book of Psalm in the first chapter. Turn, if you would, with me there to Psalms chapter 1, if you haven't already. Let's read the whole entire psalm. Psalm 1, verse 1. I can get there fast enough. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. A lot of times we think about the start of Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed is the man. This idea of blessed is what we would refer to in the New Testament as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the, fill in the blank, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's the idea here in Psalms chapter 1, verse 1, blessed is the man. And it goes on and it describes what the blessed man is thinking, what the blessed man is doing concerning God's Word, concerning the will of God, concerning his meditation upon and thinking upon God's Word. God, the divine creator of us, says you will be blessed, you will prosper, you will grow spiritually if you meditate on his Word day and night. Those are promises that God makes to you, Christian, and to me. These are promises that God wants and desires for you to be blessed, to prosper, spiritually prosper, to grow by leaps and bounds as a Christian, to become incredibly fruitful concerning your Christianity, to become incredibly fruitful, 100-fold, some 30-fold, some 50, some 100-fold in your efforts, in your thoughts, in your spiritual walk, if you dwell on His Word and meditate on it. These are the promises from God to you and to me. What wonderful blessings they are, truly. God has sought to it to lay down in Scripture, in writing, the very perfect things He wants you to dwell on, the very things that will cause you to grow, become a better Christian, even in times of spiritual drought, even in times where you lack sustenance spiritually, even in times where you struggle or you suffer loss, even in times when it seems you're the only Christian at work or in school, or that you're the only faithful person where you live on your street or in your neighborhood, when you feel alone and separate from other Christians here at Waynesville, even in times in the darkness when you feel there is no light, you know that God is there and providing light and guidance to you. You know that if you think and dwell on His Word, the light is still inside of you and cannot be extinguished. This beatitude here in Psalm chapter 1, before it goes into what the blessed man does, begins by saying what he does not do. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor in the seat of scoffers. Notice the verbs walk, stand, sit. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of wicked. He does not shape his conduct after the principles of the godless. He does not listen to or follow the wisdom of the world. He does not run his life according to the advice given out by those who have come loose or separated themselves from God. Don't take their counsel. Don't listen to them. Where do you take your counsel? Directly from God. Where do you read about the principles and the concept God wants you to have? In His Word. Next, the blessed man does not stand in the way of sinners. That is not his basic stance. He does not establish himself in their practices of shameful vices. What am I talking about? Look around you. The world is full of sin, drunkenness, sexual immorality. Evil thoughts are expressed in a million different ways on the TV or on your phone or on the internet. We know what those evil vices are. We can see them and identify them. Don't listen to them. Don't watch them. Don't partake in their message. Focus your mind. Focus your time. Devote your time to reading and study of God's Word. It is far more profitable for a man to sit and study God's Word than to look at these devices and these messages designed by Satan to ensnare you, to entrap you, Christian, to pull you away from God, to take your time in entertainment, or take your time in these evil devices. Think about your stance as a Christian. Are you devoted to God's Word and the teaching of it? Thirdly, the blessed man does not sit in the seat of scoffers, that is, with those who scorn and scoff at his religion. He does not join in with those mockers of God. We see their messages. They say there is no God. They say, well, what good does it do to follow God? How can the same God who created all these good things also create disease or sickness or allow suffering? We see the scoffers. We understand their message. We're all intelligent people. We all comprehend that they're trying to tear away at your belief in God. They're trying to wear you down over time. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of arguments of evolution of taking prayer out of your daily life. Taking the words, "We trust in God," off of our dollar bills and our coins. And it's not just the words. Their intent is to remove God from every phase, every walk of life, be it in the school or in the workplace, be it in your homes or in your thoughts. Their intent is clear. But we as Christians are not to sit in the seat of scoffers. We are not even to approve of what they do or their message. We need the water of God's word in our lives to be fruitful. I chose this picture especially for this lesson. This is the River Jordan. And it shows trees. Obviously, they weren't there in the time that the book of Psalms was written. Or in the days of Jeremiah that we're going to talk about in just a moment. Or even in the days of Jesus. No, these aren't the same trees. Certainly not. But it gives you the idea of what the Jews would have seen. If they just even look at the River Jordan, they would see trees planted by the water. They would have understood this concept firsthand. The strength that the tree draws from the water is like the Christian who's planted in their faith and draws strength from the Word of God and cannot be shaken or moved no matter what is thrown at that tree or what is thrown at that Christian in life. We need the water of God's Word to make us sound Christians, faithful, loving servants who never deviate their course, never deviate their mindset, and are focused and channeled upon His Word. One evidence of the value of God's Word is the character of those who oppose it. Verse 1 of Psalms chapter 1, then with its reference to the way of the wicked, the sinners, and the scoffers, this forms a sharp contrast with what follows in verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Yes, it is God's law that the blessed man occupies himself, not in the world's foolishness or rebellion. Let us think about this word law. As Christians, when you hear the word law, our tendency is to think of law in a narrow sense, a narrow set of rules that we have to follow. A law in the sense that it demands us to do something. A law we sometimes think as a condemning word of judgment. We think of the word law as some kind of restriction. But I challenge you to think differently about this word law. Meditate upon the law. Not in a condemning context of judgment or some type of narrowing or restrictive sense. Think of it, think of the law of God as His gospel message. When we refer to the gospel in the context here in Psalm 1, the term law has a much broader sense. It refers to the whole will of God, thus including His primary will for our lives, which is to save us. And that's the gospel. That's the entire message. Is God's intent, His will, is to save you from your sins. Just like God planted that tree by the water to preserve the tree, to save it in times of drought or storm, to make it strong. Trees love water, don't they? Christians should love the gospel message and constantly make it part of their lives. Just like that tree makes that water a constant part of its source of life. Its constant source of strength and growth and vitality and being fruitful. That water causes that tree to have fruitful growth. Not because of something that's inside the tree, but what God put the water there and designed the tree to do. God has put the Word of God here for a reason and designed us, His creation, to use His Word to be fruitful and to be saved from our sins. That's God's primary will for our lives. It refers to what will save us in the end. And what we really need to understand, both the law and the gospel. The word translated law here is an important Hebrew word, Torah. It literally means instruction or teaching. Another way to understand this term, Torah, then, is one that's probably a little more familiar to us as the Word of God. The blessed man delights in the Word. Think about Jesus' words. When He spoke to people, they listened. Why did they listen to the Word of Jesus Christ? He spoke with authority. He spoke with power. He spoke with passion. He spoke with one who could do miracles. And that grabbed their attention. He spoke with one who was sent by God with authority and says, "This is what the law says, but I say, love your enemies. Love those who persecute you and treat you shamefully." Jesus spoke a message of love from the gospel, not about rule keeping or thou shalt not, as we see in the law of Moses. Jesus Christ came with a message that's more powerful. He came with a message that's more effective in converting people and causing them to grow and grasp, holding their attention such that when they think about Jesus, they think of the word love. When they think of the word of Jesus Christ, they think of love. When they think about Jesus Christ's sacrifice upon the cross, they think of His love. That's what's so attractive about God's Word. That's what's so appealing to Christians and to non-Christians, is a message of love. It's one that draws us to that water. It's one that draws us to the Word. That's why it's so inviting, so appealing. This world that we live in is so full of hate. It's so full of evil. It's so full of haters. How many people in this world can you think of right now that hate Christianity? That hate the Word of God? That hate anything to do with spirituality or helping others? And I'm talking about in a spiritual context. Not giving them physical sustenance, but giving them the Word of God that will save their souls. Which is more important? Help someone to eat for a day or help someone to live eternally through baptism? God has already given that answer. I don't need to answer it. God said, "My word is more important." Doesn't mean we don't help people. Doesn't mean that we don't provide physical sustenance, but what we do provide is more important. We look to the haters of this world and we show them love, just like Jesus did. We look to those who hate God's word or hate anything to do with Jesus Christ, and we still love them and we still love their souls. And our attitude and our mindset is to teach them the gospel of love, because love will conquer hate. Love will conquer evil. And the blood of Jesus Christ has already conquered sin and death. So our gospel message that Jesus Christ equipped us with, the water of life itself, contained in the pages of Scripture, is what we need to dwell on ourselves first, but teach that message of love. Dwelling on God's Word waters our hearts. You think about a plant. If you put a plant in a pot and you never water it, what's going to happen to that plant? It's going to die. I'm not a horticulturalist. I'm not a gardener. But I've seen it firsthand. My wife will attest to it. We put a plant in a pot. We put it on our porch. we travel, we're away, and it doesn't get watered, that plant died. The same is true with Christians. You can't put yourself and seclude yourself from the Word of God and expect to live spiritually. It is impossible. God has set you up just like that plant. You need to be watered with the Word of God if you want to grow and survive spiritually. Period. That's God's word on the matter. That's not my opinion. That's what God says. God's word strengthens us and causes us to love Him more deeply and more strongly every day. That's the type of watering that's provided by God's word. It's something that creates within you strength. It's called faith. It's called knowledge. And to your knowledge you add self-control. And to self-control, the list goes on and on. All the things that God's word provides and waters you spiritually, causing growth. If you're not growing as a Christian, you're dead. Not my opinion, not my think so, just that's the reality. The tree planted by the water never lacks. Jeremiah 17, verse 8. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. For his leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, nor for it does not cease to bear fruit. Jeremiah 17, verse 8 is a perfect description of a Christian that's thoroughly watered by the Word of God. We don't fear when the heat comes. And I'm not talking about physical heat. I'm talking about when we feel the persecution, when we feel the temptation of sin, when we are tempted to leave our Christianity at the door and do things we know we ought not to do. We are to remain green in the spiritual sense of the word. Remain strong in your faith. Remain strong in your character as a Christian. Remember the words of Christ in these times of difficulty or suffering. Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of water." Jesus' desire for you is to come to Him and to drink. The spiritual person will listen to the word of Jesus Christ. He says, out of your heart then will flow rivers of living water. That is eternal life. From within you will spring up eternal life. From within you, you'll be able to teach others the word of God. And it will be flowing, as it were, by living water, that they too can come to Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and drink, the same as you do, because you lead them to Jesus Christ. You lead them to the water of the Word. You teach them and show them God's desire for them. In Psalms 1, 4, and 5, he says, "The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." God understands wickedness probably better than we do. God understands the wicked and their ways. And He makes this promise. He says they are like chaff that the wind will drive away. The wicked won't stand in judgment. They have no chance. Nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. You can identify a sinner by his fruits. You can identify a sinner by his actions. You can identify a sinner by his character. You can identify a sinner because he won't read his scriptures, or she. They won't follow the word of God because they don't know what it says. They aren't comfortable around Christians. They don't want to be around Christians. They don't want to spend time studying their word. They don't want to spend time with other Christians. Sure, we can identify the sinner. Sure, we can appeal to them with the Word of God. We can teach them and show them how a Christian ought to live in our example and in our lives. God presents for us two paths in verses 5 and 6 of Psalms chapter 1. The way of the wicked that will perish. I put up a picture of a tree by a dry riverbed. The idea that I had presented before, that a plant without water will die. Doesn't matter that this tree is planted by a riverbed, does it? That tree doesn't partake of water. That tree is going to die. The second way, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Verse 6 says, you will be like a tree planted by the streams of water. In verse 3, I put up this picture to illustrate in our minds vividly how God wants us to be as Christians, lush, beautiful Christians, made for His good works. And everybody around knows the life of a Christian. Everybody around can see and perceive the wonderful fruits and how green that tree is because it partakes of the word of the gospel, because it is vibrant, because it is powerful in their lives. The heart of a Christian is strong and remains green even in times of temptation, even in times where you're wore out and you're tired and you don't want to lift up others, or you don't want to read your Bible. The Christian is still to meditate, even in times of weakness, fatigue, or when you're just wore out. The Word of God will refresh you spiritually. It will bring you back to your center as a Christian. I encourage you to think about these things that we talked about this morning. I really do appreciate your attention. I wish I had more time. Actually, I had more material, but we just ran out of time. If anyone here this morning is subject to the gospel call, if any of you become a Christian, you can make your life right before God this morning. You can become like that tree planted by the water, giving your life to Christ, repenting of your sins, becoming baptized, becoming a new Christian, enveloping or clothing yourself with Christ this morning. If you are a Christian and perhaps you've lost your way, perhaps you've given in to temptation and you have sin in your life, the invitation is for you too. Come forward, confess your sin, repent of it. We'll pray with you and pray for you. Come now as we stand and sing the song of encouragement.